Now, as I was saying earlier, we have a living legend here in studio, an Olympic gold medalist, a former BBC Sports Personality of the Year. She's been even tapped on the shoulder with a sword by the Queen. My other guests might be interested in that. Dame Mary Peters is in town. This is for the Commonwealth Sports Festival, an event that showcases eight specific sports from the Commonwealth Games to local P7s. And as I say, also in studio is Johnny Davis, a board member of the Commonwealth Games Council, two-time fencing Olympian. Johnny, I'm sorry, I could just see that for a fencer then to be talking about Dame Mary getting the old sword on the shoulder. Mary, can I give you the casting vote, by the way? I'm sure you're a lady who's enjoyed a beautiful ice cream on a summer's day. Is it a wafer or a slider or what where you're come? Where you come from?
I'll tell you a really sad story. I used to get a penny for the bus home. And instead of getting the bus, I would have run home. But the only thing I could buy for a penny was a packet of the wafers or a OXO cube. And I would buy...
What do you mean an OXO cube?
I used to eat it on the way home. Brown teeth. But we never had any ice cream in the wafers, just the wafers. So lucky those who are getting a slider sandwich.
So is it a wafer or is it a slider? What
is it?
It's a slider. Johnny?
I go for slider.
Slider? Mm-hmm. Blow-ins. You see the blow-ins? The dairy ones aren't having this at all.
I have a bigger question for you as well. Oh. Is a piece, two pieces of bread, a piece of bread in the middle, three pieces of bread or a bread sandwich?
It's piece.
Just that. I know two people who spent 14 hours in a train in China debating that.
Mary, hold on a minute. Before I come to all the other stuff, what have you eaten OXO cubes for?
Because it was the only thing I could buy for a penny except the wafers.
But why would you eat an OXO cube?
Because full of beef...
Stuff.
And it was tasty, and it was the war years, and you were quite hungry. So,
Mary, I'm sure you've heard those accolades, and it's still a wonderful thing. I mean, you're a household name, and you have been from even I was a wee nipper. Do you ever get tired of all that stuff, the living legend stuff? Do you ever just want to just live an ordinary life?
No, because I couldn't inspire the next generation, and that's what we've been about today. We had kids from four schools in Derry trying new sports. Jason Smith was there inspiring them, and we hopefully were giving them that opportunity to play new sports that they wouldn't do normally in school. Mm-hmm. And they may be our champions of the future.
Do they understand what it means to meet a Olympic gold medalist? Do they get it at P7? I'm sure they do.
Some of them do, but yeah. Their mummies or teachers might tell them. I'm like their granny, but I do go to a lot of schools, or have been. I'm not going anymore because children will Google you and they know more about you than you know about yourself.
Have you Googled yourself? Have you checked your Wikipedia page?
I did recently because somebody told me there was something on it that I didn't know about.
Oh, right. You won something maybe that you never knew you won. Mary, I want to talk about the Olympics in a second, of course, but as I say, yourself and Johnny today, these sports, this connecting, trying to connect kids with Commonwealth and Olympic, maybe hopes, I think sometimes the danger is, you know, look at how amazing they can be, because there'll only ever be one medalist in, you know, the javelin and all the rest. But important to set out this broad... platform of opportunity. How did it work out today?
Today we saw children with talent, and we hope that the volunteer coaches that were there will spot them and encourage them to take up that sport. We had a cup of tea with some of the judo coaches afterwards, and they were saying, we will try and get all those kids into the judo club. There's always some person goes to the top of the pile and the cream on the top of the coffee. And, you know, just to say there'll never be an Olympic gold medalist isn't enough. Somebody might be. I was.
Mm. I think a big part of the message as well, if there's 50 kids in a room, you want the 50th to be the best they can be. Kids understand. If they're exposed to competition, they understand. But it's not... I think we're in danger that if you're not first, you're not good enough. But I can say to the kid who's 50th, as long as you are Mark, you're the 50th best in the room, as long as you're the best, Mark, you can be. And that then, I see that with the kids I work with and coach, that inspires them to be part of something, to try and do more, rather than just, we live in a very fast-moving culture whereby unless you're instant gratification and you win straight away, don't bother.
You see, but Mary, cuts and more cuts. Most wee primary schools will have a wee playing pitch or maybe a wee sand pit. You know, what I'm saying is, how many schools have you been to that have
what do you call it, pole vault, because that costs money. You know, those opportunities, have a discus, have a bloomin' couple of javelins.
I know, but I didn't have any of those things and I still became an Olympic champion. My father bought me a load of sand for my 16th birthday, which was in the backfield behind our house. And then I had to learn to put the shot so that I could do the pentathlon, which was five events. And one of them was the shot put. So he gave me a load of cement to build a shot circle in the field.
Right.
So it might not be in school, it might be your parents, or it might be a teacher that inspires you, or it might be just watching something on television and you think, oh, I'd like to have a go at that. Like I did an abseil 150 feet from the roof of a shopping centre recently to raise money for my charity. But everybody was saying to me, you're not afraid? I said, no, it's okay, I'm wearing my nappy.
Here, were you like that from a wee nipper? Were you the wee girl runner? Were you, or what's your earliest memory, Mary?
I remember showing off in the front garden, which was full of lupins, with a skipping rope, and skipped faster as the odd car went by. I had an older brother, and everything he tried to do, I tried to improve on.
You see. Mm-hmm. And were you the egg and spoon winner at primary school? And the teachers always say, oh, young Peters.
Yeah. I was in the sack race and won, and they said I went before the gun, and I said, well, that wasn't my fault. The gunman should have recalled us.
And when did things start to get serious for you? And, you know, that avenue of opportunity, because I'm sure at some stage there are people going, this young one here, we really need to supercharge her? Or how did that happen back in the day?
I had a headmaster who recognised something special in each of his pupils and introduced me to an athletic coach. Might have been introduced to a judo coach or a badminton or well, boxing wasn't in those days. But I just was lucky enough to meet the right people who gave me the opportunity to develop my skills.
That was way before the Troubles, of course. I mean, way back.
We're talking about the 1950s when I started in athletics. My first Commonwealth Games was 1958. And subsequently, I've been to them all except for Delhi. And I'll be going to the Gold Coast next time round. And you see, these are wonderful opportunities for young people to travel, enjoy good health, enjoy friendships that they'll make for life, and compete for their country.
Might I say, you look the picture of health.
Thank you very much.
I'm assuming, are you still a brisk walker?
I am, yes. Yeah. I don't go to the gym anymore because I had my own health club for 20 years and I love to get out in the fresh air. Yeah. I exercise almost every day.
So, Johnny, what about the old fencing then? It must be strange teaching weans how to come at each other with swords.
They love it. They just, if you go out there and give me five kids from wherever in Derry and you give them a stick, they try to hit each other in some way. Well,
Games of Thrones, isn't
it? Games of Thrones and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And it is. It's one of those things. Fencing is a classic example of, I suppose, what today was about, in that it's a minority sport in most people's eyes, but those people who get it really get it. So there are kids wrestling today. And if you'd seen those kids, so it just reminded me of, you know, rolling around in school whenever kids were allowed to touch each other or kids were allowed to push each other, and the sweat was pouring off them having a laugh, you know.
But I suppose your discipline was traditionally way back in it was the aristocracy who did this to settle debates on that.
Well, probably way back, certainly when I was born in Dungannon, I didn't have the aristocracy.
You were settling debate.
It was, things were probably settling a slightly different way in the field behind the house or whatever, but no, certainly, yes, traditionally, if you take it as a very central European sport, it was used in duels. You know, I lived in Germany for 2 or 3 years training, and people would give you the rich history of it. But it's evolved. These sports, Olympic sports now, it's a different world. It's politics, it's money, it's everything, you know. So fencing, any sport that's in the Commonwealth or the Olympics now, has money behind it, has politics behind it, has a lot behind it. So that's something which we're probably catching up with in this country, because the big three sports dominate.
Which are rugby, football and
Gaelic. Yes. Yeah.
But we're going to be hosting in 2021 the Youth Games, which is for young people from all the Commonwealth countries. And these young people that were there today could be on that team. So what an inspiration it could be to see that somebody from Derry, or we're going to Bangor tomorrow and Belfast on Thursday, one of those, or even two or three of them, could be there on that team.
Tell me though, honestly, when you watch it these days at the highest level, do you watch it with, let me put it like this, confidence? Because I'm assuming the drugs and stuff wasn't about in your day. I think a lot of people look at it, Mary, and go, who's legal and who's not?
Well, I think that is a problem with all the recent events that have happened, and they're banning the Russians from going to the Olympics. But in my day, it was the East Germans, and it was proved after the wall came down that those that were in my competition were taking drugs.
And you still beat them?
I still beat them.
Actual cubes.
And a lot of them had passed away because of the abuse that they received from their medics in that day. So I still look and feel healthy. I just feel that those that are cheating have to live with themselves, and how can they feel proud? And they could still be caught for taking drugs. Oh. So why would you? Why would
Is it a world you envy, though, if you were 16 again and thrust into Rio? Because I'm assuming the pressure is, listen, we can get her 2 seconds in the 1500 here if she goes and sees such and such. That must be a huge pressure.
I knew that I couldn't have worked any harder in my preparation for my Olympic final competition. And, you know, I had a clear conscience that I did everything that I could to make myself the best, and I had a great coach who had confidence in me. But I don't envy all the money they can make now, or they stay in a 5-star hotel. We shared 4 to a room. You know, it was great fun, and we enjoyed it, and we were amateur athletes. And you know what? You can't buy memories, and I have a trunk full of them.
I always remember, I was a never watched you on the Sports Personality of the Year. What did you say to Princess Anne? Wasn't it that she handed you it and she had polished it or something, hadn't she?
I said, hasn't she kept it clean?
Hasn't she kept it clean?
Because she had won it the previous year.
And the place just tittered and laughed, didn't they? It was wonderful. Johnny, can I call it a minority sport?
Because I won't be offended.
No, because an awful lot of kids won't have access. I know the Foyle Londonderry College historically had a very strong
headmaster Jack McGill, who's no longer there, was, again, this is what happens, somebody who just drives it, and he bought a coach in and he had the gym open every night, and it has gone downhill slightly because he's moved on. Sorry, the question was...
Well, I was going to say about, you know, getting kids access to that, because, again, that's like one of those wee swords for a school is hundreds of pounds.
Well, OK.
All the kit and
well,
the electricity.
Well, interesting, we're on a kind of a mission. My wife actually went to Olympics as a fencer as well, and we started a club in Belfast, and we're beg, stealing and borrowing. And we, our kids come in, we had a great story. We had a little boy, Simon Turkovich, who had moved from Poland to the Omo Road, and his first international competition was back in Poland. We took him there, and his granny came, and she bought him buns and all. So, you know, there's stories within that. His father's a painter and decorator, so we are finding sponsors, Sport NI, wherever we can go to get money. Any sport is going to cost you a certain amount of money. You're going to have to, if you aspire, you're going to travel, you're going to do this. And everyone just has to be resilient and try and find money.
But Mary, well, sorry.
No, I was just going to say that that's why Mary Peters Trust does a great job, which has been going for 40 years now, and I'm racing to a million so that when I'm no longer here, there'll be a legacy to help these young people get on that ladder of success. And we're able to give 120 bursaries every year to young people.
Well, I've had 3 kids this year who we took abroad, who that's what they use the money for. So on the ground level, it is working.
Mary, do you ever look back at life? Because yours was the last generation, essentially, I suppose, not to be millionaires. If you were on the scene today, you'd be up there with Usain Bolt and all those people who are making a small fortune. You probably could have succeeded at lots of things in life, and yet forever you'll be our Mary, the sports Mary. Do you ever think about what life would have been had you not have gone down that path?
Well, I was honoured to serve for 5 years as the Queen's representative in Belfast as Lord Lieutenant. I've got the freedom of Lisbon and the freedom of Belfast. You can't buy those honours. And I just love life and love seeing young people succeed. And I'll spend the rest of my days making sure that nobody's deprived of the opportunity of Commonwealth or Olympic competition.
And do you still sense that hunger that young people have? Because let's be honest, when you were running about the backfield climbing trees, I remember that kind of a childhood, but childhood these days is very, very different.
That's why today was so important, to stimulate these young people at the sports festival to know how good it can be. We saw kids with the sweat running off them, and they'd put 100% into it, and they'll go home and just sleep well tonight, and they'll wake up tomorrow thinking that was a great day.
Just in the netball, the very last thing we saw, they said, right, last goal winner, usual, and it was a battle and a battle, and when they won, it's like they'd won the World Cup, these kids, and it was fantastic. They were all high-fiving each other. Kids love to compete.
Oh, there you go. Maybe OXO cubes is the answer. Maybe OXO. Did you know harm?
I'd like a slider now.
Well, can we raise it? Fingers wants a slider. We can get her a slider or a woofer. How lovely to have you both, dear Mary.
Thank
and
you so
an absolute
much.
Privilege to meet you. Thank you for joining us. And Johnny, good man yourself.
Thank you very much.
Indeed. So there you are. That's the story in town today. Two times fencing Olympian Johnny Davis in town, along with Dame Mary Peters.